talking to me?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this probably one and only fucking episode of Are You Talking Little Pod of Nothing to Me? The best idea since the Chinese Puzzle Box app. And the reason we have this weird name and an amazing new tagline, good start, boss, is because I'm not alone. So obviously you heard the Are You Talking word, so I'm joined by my lovely wife.
Hello.
And little pot of horrors, because Timo's here!
Hello!
And the big surprise is my internet life partner, the one and only Casey Marsh, who I've been recording, well, podcasts with for decades now.
Hola.
Hello.
Nearly 10 years. 10 years next year.
Is it really? We should have like a celebratory show.
Yeah, start planning that now.
Well, I'm just thinking that might be the next one to come out.
The way we talk to each other, it will be a celebratory show.
Emphasis on the berets.
Come and join our celebration. workshopping on air.
So those of you who don't know, our podcast is called Here Goes Nothing. Mm. And you know, we haven't done an episode in a while, but the feed is still there and it's not going anywhere as far as I can tell. So
we're still around, just not on mic very much.
No, we just like to keep the channels open and then surprise you occasionally, like this. So reason everybody's here is Timo and I, as everybody knows, listen to the Little Pot of Horrors, share a birthday for 2 hours every year, except for when we're in the same country.
Yeah.
Sure. And
now it's my birthday.
It's 12 minutes into your birthday! Happy birthday,
Hooray!
Timo!
Hey, thank you!
Woo. It's no longer my birthday, so I don't feel special anymore.
Yeah. Oh, even Siri remember.
I've never had my watch say that to me.
Oh. Siri likes me more.
My watch hates me. So we've been doing all kinds of awesome stuff this weekend. Mm. So we just thought we'd share them with you. For those who've never listened to Here Goes Nothing, it was our show where we just talked about whatever the fuck we wanted. So that's kind of what we're going to do. So we're going to cover the things we've watched, been seen, done, whatever.
Yep.
And beer.
So... So we traditionally start Here Goes Nothing with a catch-up and what's new in life and
well,
shit's been going down.
Yeah. There's loads, isn't there? Moving on.
We live such exciting lives.
It's more to do with what so much water's passed under the bridge. How much of that water do we really want to slosh over the listeners?
What's happened in the last year and a half is...
I've moved house, which is good fun, but nobody's particularly interested in that. That's happened. That's what it is.
You've served celebrities at work. Well, not
well,
served.
I've served celebrities.
You've cooked for.
None of which people tend to know, but they're celebrities to me. Go from Tatty Fixers, Super Vet, who's a very cool guy.
He's been
Noel,
in twice.
Noel Fitzpatrick, yes.
Who's Noel Fitzpatrick?
Well, he's Super Vet. Channel 4.
Oh, I thought that was someone different. No,
a celebrity.
See, that's my podcast co-host and best friend, not realising who the fuck Superman is.
There is a tradition of Casey dropping jokes and the penny dropping at least 15 to 20 seconds later, so you will get used to that. Or just not knowing who the fuck anyone is, that's the other thing.
Wait for it.
Well, not being prepped.
A mic drop.
It was a penny drop.
It's a funny artistry.
It sounded like a mic.
Then it all went wrong.
There we are.
If this is your first time listening, goodbye.
It's like when we did our Fantastic Adventures of Boz and Casey radio show, they gave us our time slot, which was the same fucking time. And you could only listen live, by the way, because nothing ever went out as pre-record or streaming. And it went out at 9 o'clock on Monday nights.
Same time as Game of Thrones.
Basically.
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah. There was like zero chance of having anyone listen to that.
Yeah. Spoilers. Not Game of Thrones won that particular rating. Worldwide.
Hey, we did interview a White Walker.
Ooh.
Topical.
We did.
One or two?
No, we only interviewed one. I met the other one. briefly. He's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've had new toys.
Honey, you're not supposed to talk about them.
Not those ones. The ones that...
We have new family members.
Yes. New motorcycles.
Yep. For both of us.
Yeah. You got yours today.
After I crashed my other bike. But we don't need to talk about that. That's fine. Yes.
I mean, you can talk about it a bit if you want.
No, it's okay.
We're all friends here.
It's okay.
She scared the shit out of me, ladies and gentlemen. Thankfully, very close to home. So I did rock up in the van. I was like, who do I have to kill? No, it's her fault. She... Yeah, anyway.
But it wasn't entirely my fault. My brakes didn't work. So yeah. I hit a car. And that was it. Like, yeah. I fell. So the bike fell on top of me. And that was that.
We have two new kids.
Yes.
We're being far too polite to each other at the moment.
We are.
Need to ratchet this up.
I think we need to drink more. Drink! Yeah. Drink!
A glass of drink!
Yeah, we need to hit topics that cause Lavinia to argue, because she does fill the argue-talking portion of the show title. Timo, anything new with you?
I have a new cat.
Did you crash? Did you deliberately crash the previous cat?
No, I didn't deliberately crash the previous cat.
So you have a new pussy?
Yes.
Oh.
It's nice and warm. It's a bit hairy. But I manage.
Of course, the listeners of Here Goes Nothing, that is news. But ooh, to the Little Pod of Horrors listeners, that's nothing new, because Nimitz has appeared on several episodes.
Yeah, Nimitz is on every episode.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just thinking, we should give Timo his present live on the show.
Okay, go get it.
I can't, I'm trapped.
Yeah, you're all trapped, aren't you?
I want to hear all the incidental noise when somebody goes to get the present.
It's not wrapped, I'm afraid, but we could probably put it in a plastic bag for you or something.
I'll tell you what was wrapped was most of the show we saw tonight.
Yay! Segway.
Mind your feet, my segway's coming through.
We just got back from Hamilton, hence the high spirits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and
the beer.
Spirits.
Yeah, and the actual spirits.
Being Here Goes Nothing, of course, they are drinking BrewDog.
Mm. We'll slowly intro this while Lavinia fetches the present, but we have a very, very long time coming. We've been looking forward to this for over a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Best part of a year and a half. And the cool thing, we finally, tonight was the night that it happened.
Yeah.
Tonight is the night of nights.
Well, I have Timo to thank, because I'd never heard of Hamilton until he told me about it. Hmm. And you were here, weren't you, when he told me?
Yes, that was a year ago. Yeah,
it was a year ago, because you stuck it on your phone and went, check this out, and I was like, that's actually really bloody good.
Yeah.
The subject matter was like, nah, I don't care.
Yeah, it's for those who don't know, it's about Alexander Hamilton, who is the first Treasury Secretary of the United States.
Yep.
The most fascinating subject when you hear it.
The idea being as well that he's a founding father whose story wasn't really told. He's kind of forgotten. He's on the $10 bill,
mm-hmm,
but nobody really knew anything about him. Lin-Manuel Miranda, a multi-talented musician,
oh, God, is he?
rapper, and the musical, you know, musical craftsman. I'm here. I think she married. I'm pretty sure she married. Where the fuck is it?
Somewhere safe. Richard, this flat is fucking could be anywhere.
I'm gonna trail everything we're talking about.
How did you first hear about Hamilton?
I'm always listening and reading everything. Really, I keep my ear to the ground quite well. Plus, I'm much more of a hip hop fan, I think, than
true.
Dude, I think the musical style. Mm. Should point out this is a American Declaration of Independence era musical with basically a modern hip hop feel and sound to it. And a very, very strange approach to a show, which is why it's so special and why it's been so popular, I think. Mm, but
yeah,
and I'd heard about this show that started off Broadway and was winning multiple awards, and then had this huge opening on Broadway and became the new kind of the Book of Mormon lottery ticket to get.
How does a bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by Providence, impoverished in squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar?
The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter. By 14, they placed him in charge of a trading charter. And every day while slaves were being slaughtered and carted away across the waves...
So I popped onto Spotify and... actually, the very first time I came across it was I pulled a YouTube clip up of... whilst they were still workshopping the show, of them, of Lin-Manuel Miranda and a few of the cast doing a medley of the songs to Barack and Michelle Obama in the White House.
I saw that. Yeah, it was okay. brilliant.
Which is fantastic. Because I think he debuted... He was working on it for a while. He'd read this book, Miranda, this biography of Hamilton, and saw parallels between the immigrants back then and the struggle of people today. And he really did think this was a hip-hop tale of people with no hope, really, with no money, no hope, whatever, but nothing but their own moxie and their own fire and their own ability to pull themselves up, taking their chance and, as one of the songs says, not throwing away their shot. And he decided he was going to make this hip-hop parallel, which everybody kind of laughed at, I think. People didn't really take it seriously because it's a very odd idea.
But fucking works.
Then I saw this, there was a White House poetry jam event.
When is Donald Trump having his White House poetry jam event? I'd like to see that one.
Mm. There might be jam involved.
I mean, does Ted Nugent do jam poetry?
I just love the king saying, so who's next? Or what the fuck's going to happen next? Or something like that.
What comes next?
Maybe that's, yes.
Oh, what a character.
That's great, yeah. King George III plays a large part in this.
I wonder if they hemmed it up just for you guys. I wonder if the portrayer put up, if he's portrayed differently in the States.
Could be. Because he was incredibly...
I don't think so. I think
inbred is the word I was looking for.
Well, this was Mad King George. This was the king lost his mind. Mm. And I think they're entitled to, because it's all about these young people with a fire inside and breaking free of decades and decades of oppression and the rich English doing what they wanted with this little colony of theirs, this little plaything of theirs. I think they've got every right to basically parody the king, who is this entitled, pompous, sort of spoiled figure who...
The irony of this was not lost on me, watching a pretty much middle to upper class crowd at a London theatre cheering uproariously as the British Empire is overthrown and independence is won for us. But he's just singing, you'll be back, we will see. I'm thinking, it could fucking happen yet. The way you're going, you need oversight.
King George himself in his ermines and furs and jewels comes out, and the little spots he does where he kind of answers what's happening with this rebellion that's going on in his colony, it's like a spurned lover. It's brilliant that the song is sort of like, oh, baby, you want to leave me. And it's very, very good with an incredibly infectious melody.
It's like in the first third of the performance, every character that comes in, you're like, oh, they just stole the show. Mm. Oh, no, he stole the show. Oh, it's his show. Oh, no, it's her show. Oh, I give up. They're all fucking amazing.
Yeah, we're not going to go through. I think it'd be pointless to go through the show and try and explain everything to the listeners. Because it's just, grab yourself, either go and watch those performances of My Shot at the White House.
Or, not his shot, the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The song is called My Shot.
Case or, the White House has yet to happen.
Or the soundtrack on Spotify or whatever, and just have a listen. And look, I'm sure you know about Hamilton. Hamilton is world straddling now.
Well, it won 7 Olivier Awards yesterday.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was the first show since they swept.
I thought they'd have looked a bit fucking happier about it. We'd have given them a standing ovation at the end, and I went, 7! I just thought I was Len Goodman from Strictly Come Dancing, so it didn't go down so well. But hey.
It was such an original approach to music. I've seen quite a few shows now, and they've all got their own merits. I've seen some brilliant shows. I've never seen anything that took this approach and had so much... It's impossible to do a show this big and this expensive without having it rehearsed to a T, but so much of it felt spontaneous. That's what I loved about it.
But the choreography was fucking point perfect.
Because we're talking spitting bars for 2.5 hours. There's so much rhyming going on, that a lot of it feels like it's made up on the spot. I mean, the idea that a cabinet meeting with the Congress,
oh, yeah,
each time there's a cabinet meeting, it's a rap battle.
Yeah.
But it's done so well. And he sticks so close to the facts. He it's full of actual facts and real things that happened, which really gives it the heart, because he's not straying away from the details and making it into his own little fairy tale version of what happened. No, he really wants to tell Alexander Hamilton's story, because it can inspire, I think, the immigrants and just the young people of today who might feel downtrodden and might feel not spoken for, that everybody has a chance. It's an American story, obviously. Everybody is meant to have a chance in this country to be whatever they want to be, and they just have to get up on their feet and do it.
Well, seeing the current situation, you know,
so relevant.
What they fought for, what they achieved, and everything's now being chucked down the drain.
And I would like to say, guns obviously a really big problem back then. For fuck's sake, people, did you not learn?
Yeah.
Well, the right to bear arms back then was drawn up because it was about the idea of small militias coming up in this post-rebellion country. It's not,
yeah, it was by preventing Washington from becoming a tyrant, a monarch.
Yeah. But I mean, that's been done to death. But
dueling should never have moved away from swords. I stand on that point. Should never have been introduced to firearms.
Yeah.
If they'd not moved on to firearms, we'd still have dueling today to settle arguments, and the world would be a better place. That's how I feel about it, anyway. First to draw blood, that's it.
There would be a queue outside Westminster.
I'm sure that they've either adapted a little bit of it to really push the agenda for today's world. Of course, it's such a relevant show and such an important show now, with all the restrictions that minorities are facing in America and the horrible exclusionary things that are happening. There's a little bit about immigrants. We get things done.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It got raw.
Yeah.
And of course, because the show's not been going that long, and because it's been so oversubscribed for tickets, every night I feel must have had the same atmosphere we had, because it was a little bit almost like being at a football match tonight. It was fantastic.
I feel sorry for the cast, because it's basically, for them,
it's a rave every night.
Well, it's a rave every night, but it's only downhill from here, because as it goes on, that audience is going to get filtered in with people who are just like, oh, this new thing, I must buy tickets.
However,
I know nothing about it.
However, I feel the energy of the show and the quality of it, I think, wins through. I think people will still be on their feet. But the thing was, because of the way, you know, Timo was the guy that got us tickets like nearly a year and a half ago.
No, didn't he?
brought the show to us, and then, whoever it was that did the hard work there anyway, got us the tickets, because it was a real race to get them. Everybody was trying to get them. Everybody in that theatre tonight was in the same boat. They'd all been there watching the calendar.
They're basically
turn.
All Hamilton nerds in that
so
room.
Yeah. Everybody was just
joke everybody knew was coming, and then they laughed twice as much because they knew it was coming. Which is ridiculous.
There was one person who had not heard it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they started clapping mid-song because they thought the song was ending.
Oh, yes.
But it was one person.
Yeah.
We should have all just turned around and gone,
get out,
wanger.
But I think the main point is that the hype is worth it.
Yeah.
It's so many times the hottest show in town can be terribly overhyped. But I've not seen anything like Hamilton before, and that's, considering how much I've listened to the soundtrack and how much I know about the show, it absolutely blew me away with a new approach to big, expensive musical theatre.
The great thing about it, though, is if you do just go and get the soundtrack, that's the whole show. There's only a couple of bits added that aren't actually on the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's maybe like 10 seconds that is not on the soundtrack.
But they're quite relevant, actually, to understand it.
Yeah, they help unpack a couple of the songs, and obviously stage direction helps in a couple of places. But like the Book of Mormon, you can get the soundtrack but not really know the story until you see the play, which is good for them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of know where it's going and what they're doing.
One of the other important striking things that was made a prerequisite for Hamilton as well is that the performers were cast on merit, regardless of their ethnicity or how suited they were to the physical look of the role.
Yeah, yeah.
In a brilliant stroke.
The Skylar sisters are brilliant.
Yeah. It's so you
oh,
have
yeah.
completely ethnically diverse, but their sisters and their dad is there.
Which was a real effort.
Also diverse from them, which is fantastic.
In a show about immigrants and about melting pots.
Yeah.
What a great approach. I mean, I know that Miranda, to a certain point, is very happy for characters to change gender as well. He's happy to do that to a certain extent. I don't know whether we'd have every character swap because it would be confusing. But the really beautiful thing about that as well is that it really doesn't matter.
No.
You're in the show. You're not thinking, well, that guy, I'm sure they're an African American wasn't anything like wasn't considered a citizen at a certain point.
No.
So that guy isn't going to be that actor isn't going to be that color for that role. It doesn't matter.
Well, the other thing is in Escape
within minutes,
we just saw.
You just marvel at the performances of the individuals.
Well, on top of that, regardless, they have the same actor playing several roles.
Multiple roles. Yeah. There's only a cast of like maybe 15, 20.
Yeah, 20
yeah.
Most.
Yeah.
In a lot of parts.
But the guy who plays Burr, apart from at one point, I was like, this is his show. Mm. He's so integral to it and does a lot of the narration stuff and everything else. It's almost like he's in it more than Hamilton.
Yeah, because he's telling the story.
He's actually the guy playing the role in the UK one at the moment. He's got a sort of speech impediment when he sings.
Mm.
I didn't pick up on it.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's a lisp.
Like
it's
a heavy,
got a lisp. But
heavy palate, heavy tongue kind of sound.
It absolutely... But I think a lot of times he perhaps wouldn't get cast because of that in a singing role. I think there's a snobbishness still.
Yeah, I thought about
that. Speaking is pronounced, singing, it melts away, I found.
I noticed that as well.
His singing voice was incredibly strong.
But he's, the guy performed, incredible.
Yeah, because the show itself, again, trying not to go into too many plot points, even though this is a historical figure, you can look up on Wikipedia, but...
It was
every bit as much.
Spoilers, they're dead.
Spoilers, they're all dead.
Yes.
It was every bit as much, I think, the partial tragedy of Aaron Burr as it was the story of the tragedy of Alexander Hamilton and his overlooking in history.
That's
and the Skylar sisters.
Oh.
I just love it that it's pre Book of Mormon. Pre-biblical times.
I can take it back to biblical times, 1823.
76.
We have
to check that out at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, why are we arguing?
23, flag in the sand.
Why are you arguing, guys? Bible times.
I challenge you to a Tabasco shot.
What?
No, I've only said that because our shot glasses are next
to the
bottom. I hate Tabasco. Casey very kindly for her birthday's bought us, I'm not going to miss my shot glasses. so we're going to use those later. And I'm going to interrupt here. Timo, as it is your birthday, happy birthday!
Thank you.
What? On the table.
Oh, the foley.
So if we're sitting around a table, we've got a fucking Yeti mic, so if you touch the table in any way, that's the noise you'll get. Describe what you're seeing.
A dildo.
Not quite.
No. There's a cat. Probably cat. Multi-laser toy.
It is a toy.
Yes. With lasers. It's a cat toy. Two lasers for added fun. Sleep on it. What is...
Get bored. What is this? It fucking tells you what it is.
If you get bored of your cat.
It has a it has a wide base. It's clearly a butt plug.
With lasers.
Yeah.
A laser butt plug. Welcome to the future.
get it right. It's also a butt plug. So I'm grateful.
I don't think it's waterproof.
It's pure white, so it looks Apple product, which,
works. But you're going to need batteries. Sorry, Lavinia, they're in the top drawer there.
Cats go wild for lasers. Wild with Frolly Cat. Frolly Cat.
Frolic. Frolic and
you
cat.
Yeah, I know, but...
Hang on, you didn't get batteries. They're normally behind the counter next to the lid.
Multi-laser toy. So this is what my cat is going to use to create Skynet.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
The point is...
Okay, cold reading English is not something I want to do right now.
It's the whole point of the show.
Batman.
Yeah.
I think you both lose.
Oh.
1832.
Oh, I was 23! Oh. I was back to front!
Yeah, you are. You're off back to front, honey.
Yeah, I know.
It's a cat laser toy. Cool.
Well, what about we do a fireball with beer? But with a little bit of beer in the glass and then a single thread of Tabasco down through it.
I do have knob bourbon, courtesy of Greg and Sherry, who I know will listen to this.
Credits.
So we should...
Do a shot of knob bourbon.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really crinkly packet. That's not going to annoy anyone. It's like at the cinema.
I think the cat's going to love the packing.
Yeah.
The
packaging.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm just climbing the box.
I get it.
Yes. So the idea is that will fire lasers around the room for 15 minutes. So when Nimitz is being a fucking dick because you're recording a podcast, you can just push the button and he can just go for 15 minutes.
And listen to every single object I have on any shelf go down. And the sound,
not to mention the sound of helicopters falling in the back garden.
Yeah,
it's like blind pilots.
Thank you.
Videos or it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's going to be like that, moving a picture in Word, editing a text document with a picture, moving the picture one pixel left, suddenly 18 new empty pages appear, sirens in the distance.
So talking to crinkly packets in the cinema, we also went to see A Quiet Place. Bringing us to Little Pot of Horrors business.
Yeah. Mm. Speaking of people stressing out about audio levels. What?
Yeah. We can't spoil it, obviously, but...
It was quiet.
Fuck me.
Oh, yeah.
Way better
very
than
intense,
I
intense.
Should I give my review first?
Is it non-spoilery?
Yes.
Okay.
We will make it non-spoilery.
Yes. I liked it.
Fucking get out! Give me my present back. I'm going to chase the lasers round.
While I podcast?
Okay, I'll go spoiler. Fade up. Exterior.
I'm really sorry if our laughing and uproariousness peaks on this.
We're not fucking apologising for laughing.
No, but Yeti microphones, the gain is on fucking zero. And you can't... Whoever makes these things... Do a better job with the next one. You've got really good sound capturing abilities, but you can't turn the gain down enough to not blow out the input levels. But
now you know why you can hear everything Nimitz does.
Yes.
Half a mile away.
Yes. They're shit for podcasting, honestly. Anyway.
And now, for my sponsors, Yeti microphones.
Oh, fuck. If you're starting out in podcasting, don't buy a Yeti. There's my advice.
Why did you get a Yeti?
Because I was told they were good.
Yeah,
they are good
if you want to hear a mouse fart at the bottom of the neighbour's garden three doors down.
Ooh,
rant
you
over.
Do?
Well, now I kind of do, yeah.
If you want to start a podcast and beat Here Goes Nothing's listenership, open a window and shout.
It's not a pod, really, is it?
Sorry if I remember that.
No hands on.
Sorry, I touched the table. Oh my god. Yeah. See, other problems.
Speaking of rules that must never be broken, A Quiet Place.
Don't make noises or things kill you.
Yeah.
End of.
Movie that exists solely on audio.
A lack of it,
and then a rather large surplus of it.
I mean, I did see a review saying never has silence been so terrifying, and it's sort of, well, yeah. Because. It's a really well-realised concept. There are a couple of moments when I've done that.
Really?
Yeah, it was more a design issue, but we can't talk about it until we actually do a spoilery part. But
well, that's essentially it. It's a kind of survival... It's a bit... It's almost sci-fi, I think. It's very, very much marketed as a horror movie. But...
Here goes nothing, my dear. I'm allowed to burp, and then we put the kids cheering. Has it really been that long since you've listened? Yes, because no, we haven't put a shower in 10 years. Sorry, I'm going to shut up.
Let's take you back to biblical times. The last time we podcasted.
Just fucking sign, making sign language.
Do you people realise that I haven't argued?
I haven't argued,
and here he is.
Yeah, high five, Timo.
For once.
I'm trying to get her to argue. She's fucking signing at me. I know we saw a
quiet place. I did not sign with you.
You did sign at me.
I did not.
Quick, turn the laser on!
And we decided coming out of A Quiet Place, Lavinia would be fucked, because she'd get so frustrated with us after 10 minutes not doing things properly, she'd be like, just put that... Oh, fuck, we're all dead.
No, but yes.
No, but yes.
Yes. I was like, but why the fuck are you doing that? Annoying. It's just, and why are you grabbing that? And why aren't you...
But actually, no, but it wasn't... Okay.
I think we're dealing with people working under stress here, is the thing. Characters under stress and in a very stripped down situation where not all avenues... I'm trying to do this spoiler-free. Yeah. Not all avenues are available to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A thing has happened, and it now means that we are basically all at... We, as the people in the film, a constant risk, constant threat of making noise. You make a sound, you die. All this well, is in the trailer.
If you are the loudest sound in the area, you're probably going to die. And so if there is
there's no probably about it.
There's like, I mean, actually, I should put this down as a thing now. So I am the creature from that film. And if you put your beer down on the table...
That's not how you put a beer down. That's how you put a beer down.
I'll drink to that.
I apologise for your ears, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, basically, so just because the sound palette of the movie is elevated so much, every little annoying jingling key-like sound that happens.
That's a mouse farting.
No, but that's the soundtrack to Here Goes Nothing. That's funny. It's just a shame you're not. That's what I was going. Pour it into a glass. Even the.
Shit!
Okay,
that was quite a bit harder than I intended.
I need a show of hands here.
Show of hands.
Do I have to retaliate? Because
yeah, I think I'm pretty sure.
It's kind of a grey area.
You already hurt me this weekend.
I think it's time for a duel.
As swords. As this is called argue talking, let's bring that up, Timo. So Timo's known he was coming this week for over a year because we had these tickets, and I told him that I would be running a yoga class while he was here.
No. Excuse me.
I've been doing that for 6 months. I told him six months ago.
That
this was happening.
DDPY class.
Ah, she's got you there.
Not a yoga class.
All right, then, in the Here Goes Nothing waffle update, ladies and gentlemen, I am on certification track to become a DDP yoga instructor.
DDPY yoga instructor.
No. The Y is...
No! Yoga means...
He always throws me off when I say yoga.
I thought it stood for yeah. No.
It ain't your mama's yoga.
This has now become an advert.
I wish you'd all stop slagging off my mama's yoga.
And do you reckon I could get him to sponsor our podcast? Yeah, the one that we release once a year. Yes. Yes.
20 cents an episode.
Yes. Yes. Probably afford it. DDPY is the abbreviation for DDP yoga. Okay. Which is a system which involves yoga, but it's very different, and I'll tell you about it another time. Timo,
just listen to it.
Timo, how long have you had DDP yoga? You did it for a while, and it's got to be
2 years, a bit over 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, and you were doing pretty bloody well at it, weren't you?
Yeah, in the early days, yeah.
So I wasn't being mean, and I knew he was coming, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to be an instructor. I so want to run a class, and you come to my class, and you say, yeah.
And
excellent.
I was totally on board.
And I gave him 6 months fucking notice to be in shape to come to the class.
This is true.
How many workouts did you do in preparation, Timo?
None. Because it was January. And then I blinked, and it was April.
The trouble in the sun hasn't come up for like 4 months.
So basically, he's had back pain since the workout.
Yeah. Amazon is delivering my mat in the morning. That was 3 months ago.
And of all the people in the class, one of which is Casey, who's never done it in his life, Timo's the one who managed to injure himself.
Yeah.
Make it your own, Timo. Make it your own. You know the rules.
I know. It's my fault. I overdid it. That's on me.
But I still blame you. I did not stroke out in front of a friend.
Liability waiver.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Bang the table. The things are going to kill you now.
Oh yeah, the argument would have fucking not brought me in at all.
Well, judging by our waveform levels, we're all fucking fucked. We're dead.
Lurching back to a quiet place.
Yes. Which is the exact opposite of this room right now.
I think the film...
Or the waveform.
The film holds up on two... It's got two major pillars that support it, I think. Fantastic sound design. We saw it in a gigantic multiplex cinema with top-notch audio. And that really is the way to see it.
Yes.
Because The jump scares are as jumpy and as scary as they could possibly be because it feels like you get hit by a train each time. Because as Bond says as well, you might have 15 minutes of silence predating that to a sudden bang.
Yeah.
But it is literally, it could just be a glass being put down is the loudest sound ever because everything else is so quiet and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
God, I hate jump scares.
And the other thing I think that really supports the film is some top-notch virtually non-verbal performances by almost everybody in the film.
Incredible.
Specifically a family, Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, ironically a real-life married couple.
Yeah.
Oh, no, really?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
As the situation of the film insists, there's no talking. It's got a very interesting casting of deaf actress and sign language is used in it. Rather than just a throwaway, thing of having a deaf character, it is a central pivot of the
plot. So she's a deaf actress. She's not just playing a deaf character.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard interviews and things. Yes, I'm sure she's
okay. Brilliant.
So most of the film is in sign language with subtitles, which definitely helps.
Yeah,
chap over from Finland. Who,
yeah,
it always helps with a bit of a subtitle.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's like, oh, good.
But it's really good, and it really hit me emotionally more than scary wise for myself.
Sorry.
I just missed something. What's up, Muttley?
He got a snort. I'm wearing a headphone so I can monitor when someone knocks a table because it comes through like a fucking booming noise. And somebody was like making a noise on the table, so I was looking around to see if somebody's belly rubbing the table. Apparently it wasn't a belly.
It was my boob.
Because boobs.
Because boobs.
Because boobs. It's a different way to score in the boobometer for a little part of my
It's a new special guest for us in 10 years. A boob.
It's because I moved.
What's the sound of one boob?
A dot boob. What the fuck was I talking about?
I don't know.
Some quiet place.
Something yeah. Movie.
It hit me as a parent. It's sort of a collection of the scenes of every stress nightmare a parent's ever had. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, there was a bit of difference. I think me and Casey sort of diverged a little bit on that because there is a part, it's in the trailer actually.
We went completely different routes.
There's a spoiler and I'm just like, he's like distraught at the father's pain and torment and anguish and I'm like, natural selection.
Well,
yeah, yeah. Help with you.
Kind of one less to worry about.
One less thing to worry about.
A film I would liken it to would be The Road. As well, that I think I'd be watching it in bits.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be looking at the bends, thinking, "Oh, we've got a good route."
We've had a bit of
brush the ash out of the way.
Get my knee down there. Yeah,
get the spit. Rotisseries out of the way.
Do the honours, please, because you're near the wine box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt drained, emotionally drained at the end of the film, but it was really, really, it was a good flick.
Thanks, sir. No dribble either. Brilliant.
Yeah. Again, Finn.
We've got a Poirot. We could do that later.
Poirot.
Sorry. We won't explain that. It's an audio podcast. Sorry.
Hmm.
Somebody's kicking the table or something.
Is that you? Because I'm not moving.
It's the fucking power cable is touching my chair. And I touched the power cable. That's ridiculous.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all,
this is all staying in. Yeah. Right.
Do you need
this? Is all staying in? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably not going to edit the show.
Scintillating.
Do you need the power cable?
No. It's plugged in.
Can I plug it?
We'll switch to coal power.
I say again.
Yeah. No, I've moved it now. It's fine.
Whatever.
It's too late now.
Yeah. Whole show's ruined.
Yeah.
Should we fuck off?
Yeah. All right.
Apparaît bon menace.
No. So we enjoyed A Quiet Place.
Who did?
I don't know. I didn't get a say.
Quiet Place, punctuation.
Lavinia, what did you think of A Quiet Place?
I was scared.
Well, for starters, my husband refused to sit next to me.
Fuck you!
And now we move to the area of grievances.
Fuck right off!
So,
I did
warn Timo that his arm might be used.
Yeah.
In case of necessity, which it was.
Weirdly, it was during the stop hitting yourself 5 minutes.
And it wasn't used the way you think it was.
So first there's that, and then you start hitting her. What's going on here?
We had a good time.
We have our ups and downs.
And then we were crying together today.
Yeah,
we
were, yes.
Yeah, it's gone
because she didn't want to sit next to me again.
Mm-hmm. No, you wanted to sit with your friends.
I wanted to be in a man sandwich, I can't help it. Our seats were bloody good at Hamilton, okay. Actually, because we were like top... It was a top circle, because we're poor.
Grand.
There's nothing grand about being on the top floor with you. The bit where the king like scans round and then scans. Oh, yeah. Oh, you people do exist up there. Do you? They don't acknowledge you.
Fuck you, Joe.
But we were right at the front, so we had like the spongy bit to lean on. So we were just basically leaning on the railing, looking down.
It was so comfy. It was so good, though.
Amazing. Actually, no, my arm was hurting. But...
How many? Like Lavinia, randomly for some fucking reason, I have no idea, had a measuring tape in her bag. And measured the leg room. What was the leg room in centimetres, my dear?
Timo had 65, I had 62.
Oh,
yeah.
How did you have less?
Because the wall was...
It's the curvy wall.
Yeah, bulging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not very good, is it?
But I thought...
Not at all.
You should have measured mine.
Because I was going to say, oh, let's swap if I've got more. And then I realised, no, it's just I'm just a short ass. And that's what, hence my knees weren't touching the wall. Yes.
But as it was, we could just slouch forward and just slump on the...
Yeah, it was actually really comfy.
Yeah.
No, my arm.
Although, like, because I've just renovated this whole theatre, right? So this whole
amazing job.
Thing around the front is like this sort of suedey, velvety, cushiony thing that you can lean on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that was a really bad idea.
Yeah, it's going to be awful in a couple of months.
8 months is just going to be sticky and brown, isn't it?
However, I will counterpoint this. What did you say they should have changed it to?
Leather.
30 minutes of leaning on that? What would that have felt like?
Well, it would have stopped you leaning on it so much and it would have lasted longer.
It was really
nice
to lean on it.
Yeah.
When have you ever had I've never had a trip to the theatre where I could slouch forward and just rest.
Yeah.
I think if we'd been anywhere else, like the row behind us, I would have freaked because I had nowhere to protect me. Yeah. So it was good because obviously me being so short, it was like halfway up my chest kind of thing.
Also a huge lighting rig extending, so if you had fallen over the edge, you would have just landed on the lighting rack. So we might have had a chance to grab you if we'd been asked.
I'm pretty sure Timo cracked his own back doing it as well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, my back didn't
All his musculature problems have stopped.
He fixed himself.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, for Little Pot of Horrors listeners, I have to shout out Timo's t-shirt. He is wearing a dragonfly in Stars Hollow, Connecticut. I presume that is CT.
And if you don't go watch.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Why are you listening to our podcast?
Yeah, let's welcome people in. A little bit of mild hostility.
We're not here to please people.
There's nothing for you.
Just to please ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, other things.
Yes, that's a smooth transition right there.
There were things?
Not everything has to be a completely fucking slick segue, okay? You can just limp into one occasionally. We do that too. We did have a session... Okay, where did this start? This started with us looking through Netflix. No, Amazon Netflix. Her name is Netflix. And we found a film called Double...
Trouble.
Oh, which looked kind of like Double Impact. But it didn't star Van Damme. It starred two bodybuilding twin brothers from 1992.
Paul and David, someone else?
Yeah. I wish I could remember the names, but
no
I can't.
No one cares. It's hilarious. Both with mullets and, coconut
They
oil
both
stands.
Look like Ultimate Warrior, basically. I mean, they're the twins that had their legs chainsawed off in Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
Which may ring people's bells a little bit. Oh my Christ, it's bad. It's so bad that it made us watch Mystery Science Theatre for 2 days. Because it was on that level.
Because basically, the commentary from YouTube was like watching fucking Mystery Science Theatre. It was hilarious. Yeah. And there's a bit where he walks down, one of them comes home to his apartment and the hot blonde neighbour comes out in a dressing gown. And I'm like, and it's rated 18, this movie, okay? So I'm like, we're totally going to see her boobs later. And then I had to go and do other stuff. I kept coming back to, have we seen the neighbour's boobs yet? Like, no. We've seen his a lot, oiled up.
Oh, he's got some tits.
And I did see this amazing scene. He's in his apartment And he's lifting weights, right? And it's shot like a fucking sex scene. He's completely oiled
shot.
Up.
The audio is a sex scene.
Close-ups of his flesh, right? And as he's lifting weights, because we've all seen this in the gym, yeah. Right? There's a really big guy lifting a bench press, and he's going...
It's beyond, yeah.
And she's listening through the wall next door, getting all hot while he lifts his weights. Yeah. I'm like, dude, seriously.
The only thing is, you didn't see the other brother when we arrived at his place. There was a Jeep with four girls in bikinis in waiting for him outside.
Yes.
Which also happens in the noties.
Sorry, I have to say that David Paul and Peter Paul were born in Hartford, Connecticut.
Connecticut. Ah, Dragonfly!
There you go.
See,
that
would have been a segue. Fuck you!
Does it say what year both of their hearts exploded?
That would have been in 98.
Oh, but the crop top, though.
Yeah.
The Raiders, LA Raiders crop top.
It was LA Raiders.
Oh, my God,
well.
They were born in 1957. So in 1992, they were actually a lot older than what they seemed.
How old, my dear? Go on, quick. My tick.
A lot older.
Their fake tan was the colour of modelling clay.
Yeah, all the photos.
And yeah, that crop top.
I mean, they did make Donald Trump look pale, didn't they?
Yeah.
The crop top Raiders. Oh, that was
fantastic.
So, yeah, but yeah, we accidentally became Tom Servo and Crow. The whole of that film.
They've only had six movies. So Double Trouble was the first one, and DC Cab.
The Sitters one we need to watch next.
Mr. Ray. Yeah. Natural Born Killers, Think Big, The Barbarians, and Twin Sitters.
The Barbarians! The Barbarians! We need to find that.
Oh, Barbarians.
That's going to be amazing.
It's from 1987.
Yeah, that's
going to
be so good.
Sorry, that's their first movie.
That is in the sweet zone.
Their second movie.
Oh, it really is. We need to find that.
See, my hope is that whatever film, whatever genre they're in, he's still wearing the Raiders top. It's just in his, it's in his contract.
Yeah. It's just gonna be, yeah. You have wronged me!
It's just going to be a pelt one.
I have to say, that photo is a bit...
It's the furry Raiders.
Scary?
So, so I disappeared for quite a while. I think we went and did a workout or something, didn't we? Came back.
Oh, it looks like it would look in my dreams.
It is basically the poster of Barbarian, but with two of them. I mean, seeing how they've acted, I mean, we need to do this movie.
Oh.
Orgasm?
Timo's in.
The Oak Mountain Raiders.
Yeah, so we disappeared for like 40 minutes. I came back in. And watching the MST3K episode of Reptilicus, which is brilliant.
It's the only films you can go to. It's like, we can't go cold turkey to like good films.
Yeah.
We watched a Danish horror movie. It was made for about 50 kroner.
Yeah. Oh, was it today?
As you can imagine, I skipped all of this.
Yeah.
Because
the sensible grown-ups
went to bed. No need to watch.
What we did all watch, though, well, Tuma didn't finish it, but we saw the first episode. I'm just doing this to pimp it out for a friend, but basically, if you have Netflix, you need to watch James Acaster Repertoire.
It is hilarious.
A four-part stand-up comedy thing produced by friend of the show, Nick Locke, and his business partners at Turtle Canyon Comedy. It's really well made. Ooh. And James Acaster is just, he's completely different. And it does an opening bit. This is a nod to Matt and Court at Cinema PsyOps. He does a whole bit about prêt-à-manger and how he likes to manger a bit here, manger some bananas. Like, we're walking around London today, oh, prêt-à-manger, yeah. Fancy mangering some bananas.
No, I want to manage some bananas.
Yeah. I would 100% get behind that as well. He's got a really, really unique voice and a really idiosyncratic take on a really confident and assured, because he plays the kind of oddball, sort of distracted, distance, strange character, but it's really, really funny, and it's
home.
It's such a well rehearsed, beautifully flowing set, which it's because it looks so spontaneous and looks so haphazard.
Yeah,
but you know for sure that is absolutely chiseled to a diamond of perfection. It's really, really good routine.
But it's not strange that you guys find it funny. What the weird thing is that I find it hilarious.
Well, that is, yeah, because you don't do stand-up comedy. Mm. Like, it really is hard to...
Like, yeah, make me laugh.
Because I put it on and I wasn't sure, because Casey, like, being the comedy machine that he is, like, no comedy's good enough for him, really.
It's just the way I respond to comedy. I can really appreciate comedy.
Like, the joke is slay me, he'll go, nah.
The problem is, really enjoying comedy is often it just doesn't make it outside of my body. You know, there's like a party up here, and I forget to show anything outside to the other humans.
You don't need to share it. It's no. Okay.
Yeah. So it might look like I'm like.
Yeah, but the only sign I had that you're enjoying it, because I put it on at like 11 o'clock at night, is like, Casey's still awake. He must fucking love this.
Because even I'm starting to question whether or not I'm an AI robot.
Yeah, so I think it was landing home with all of us. So, but yeah, we need to watch the rest of him.
It's really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it. He's done a lot of material. There's like
four hours. It is
4 hours,
pretty much. Oh, I think they're all quite an hour. Something like 4 or 5 minutes or whatever. But
special.
Yeah, and it's
that's an awful lot of material.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of it before. I was sort of privileged enough to help him out shooting one of his sets a couple of years ago up at the a comedy festival. And a couple of the elements of that set were actually in the first of these
episodes.
And I was like, oh, because I'd seen the way he starts it. I'm like, oh, he's doing that bit. I love that bit. But it was actually quite different. But he's done a lot over the years. And he's, like I say, he's honed his craft. And I love that this is kind of the payoff. And this week, I think I was spamming it on Facebook. And someone posted, I don't know the dude's name, but he's the guy from the Pointless Game Show, who does all the nerdy facts and whatever. He tweeted that it was like a once in a lifetime sort of thing, and that he was just a completely special comedian that everybody should watch it. That was a fairly high profile praise. So, and I was at my friend's house last weekend, and I just put Netflix on his PlayStation to find something to watch, and it was right up there in the trending bar straight away. There was no link, no reason for it to be there. It was just there. I thought, well, that,
yeah, they're really pushing
it. The fact
it, aren't
that they? It's trend, well, if it's trending, it means a lot of people are watching it.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's what pushes it into that category. So I mean, that's a really good thing. So
yeah, because Netflix don't publish any ratings, but it's clear what they get behind.
Yes,
and obviously that's related to what is trending. So. But also on Netflix, Double Trouble. You can watch it on Netflix.
Yes.
If you're feeling bad about your achievements or your relationships or any the way your life's going, watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you come out the other end, you'll feel a hell of a lot better about everything you've done with your life.
Yeah, that's true.
It's that good.
So much violence.
We spotted so many goofs without looking for them. Timo spotted an entire crew, film crew, in the shades of one of the characters.
Yeah, like I said, to be fair, in 92 HD wasn't a thing, but no.
This is blatant. This is just not being bothered to do another take.
What was the gun thing? There was a gun thing.
Yeah, he throws a gun.
Bad guy runs to a henchman runs to a car, goes to throw his magnum into the car, and it just bounces off the back window, not even anywhere near the open door. Throws it, dunk, off the car, and gets in it anyway. that's one of many things. We were right. A lot of the times, it was the film, I've never watched a film with more, wait a minute, we both agreed, like psychically agreed, to just rewind shit and watch it again. We had loads of moments where, did that fucking actually happen? Oh yeah, it did.
We're out there, they're watching action, a completely straight-faced action movie, and they're laughing like it's the funniest thing Comedy Central have ever put out. I'm like, I feel I'm really missing out here. You did.
James Doohan acting like, it's Scotty from Star Trek as the chief, acting like somebody's got his kids at some point. And he's just got to unconvincingly play chief for half an hour, and they'll give him back.
And be really angry.
Yeah. he acts through the wig. The vibrations in his wig are powering the acting performance. Rather than actually getting angry and emoting, he just starts vibrating the wig. Ah, oh, so many reasons.
Oh, we're gonna have to watch this.
Yeah.
I want to watch their entire oeuvre.
Well, this is the problem we've had, right? Because we're just like, when the guys got here, so we had. Everyone was here Friday. Mm-hmm. Went out for a curry. Then we had Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
We haven't mentioned Tuesday. Mariana at all. We haven't Marianne, had the pleasure of Mariana.
Of course, she was here till
Sunday.
Yesterday, Sunday.
Yeah. Then she came to her senses and went home.
Yes.
And got a job.
She couldn't put up with us anymore.
Yeah. Like Lavinia, too much testosterone in this room.
Stop walking out of here.
Especially after the bodybuilding twins. Don't touch the table.
It was to express my anger.
Yeah, she was releasing some testosterone.
But we're like, it's like day last tomorrow, and we're like, fuck, I wanted to do this, we could have watched that. Yeah.
This is what I'm telling you. We blinked, and it's a week later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Collectively, we blink.
Well, you know what? No more blinking.
Yeah. No more blinking.
New Year's resolution, everybody. No more blinking.
Whatever you do, don't
if somebody
blink.
Can help me with my contact lenses, fuse themselves to my eyes.
Yeah, we just need an angel in the corner.
Well, we are going to hit the void tomorrow, which is the Star Wars VR experience.
No, we're going to do ketamine.
Do not spit that over my computer.
Yeah,
he just took his mouthful of beer as he said that.
Jesus Christ.
I think we're going to kill Timo, because every time he drinks we say something that makes him snort the beer instead of swallowing.
Yes, I'm sorry, we're doing the voyage, which is a very exciting thing, actually.
It's like when people ask you a question just as you take a mouthful of food. It's like, next time someone does that to you, just go... And they're like, answer the question. You did this!
Happy now?
I don't want to do this, you made me. I do want to mention also, on Saturday... which was our sort of Londinium celebration. We went to Brewdog in Shoreditch.
Yes, we did.
And we had a lot of the Simple Syndicate folks came down. Mary Ann came all the way down from fucking Glasgow.
She did.
Legend.
That girl is a trooper.
Tristan Oldfield from What's in the Box podcast. If you're not listening to What's in the Box, what the fuck are you doing? Him and Chris Ball are hilarious.
I'm sitting here.
Also, hey, go ahead and watch everything Tristan Oldfield's ever done.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
Operation Oman is fantastic. White Lily is
so good.
Well, I couldn't say
well documented. White Lily.
Yeah.
I get accused of being.
Is a beautiful little piece of work that hopefully will lead to further.
Again, Tristan shit again for Oman not being available in Finland for
really still.
Yeah. Apparently, you can only choose like 4 countries where it's available.
Yeah, you're not going to get on that list, let's face it.
Well, he was going to...
There's more people in London than your entire country. I mean.
Yeah, but he was going to change it to, like, US, UK, Finland and somewhere else.
Spitefully...
Yeah, not Oman.
Well, fuck Oman. Well, Oman is nice. I've been there. It's
weird,
nice.
Weirdly, it turned out to be the UK, Norway, Sweden and Denmark.
We ring-fenced him with fuck yous.
Mish was there with Tristan.
Mish, yeah.
She made lovely birthday cake.
Oh, she made us cake. That was amazing.
Last bit of that one this morning. Why not?
And obviously Emma came down.
The mighty Emma from Greatest Show in the Galaxy. Simply to get people know that's about. If you don't know that's about,
still
if you are a Doctor Who fan, just the monsters are gonna get you. All right.
Okay.
So I'm getting good and drunk.
Yeah, giving them beer. They're just throwing bottle caps at my microphone. Ah, shit. Go for it.
We're going to reimburse them for weapons and come the apocalypse.
It was actually.
Yeah. Bottle caps.
What was I saying?
Emma
Foster. I was going to say, if you listen to the little pod of horror and you are not a Simply Syndicated person and you've never listened to The Greatest Show in the Galaxy and you are a Doctor Who fan, that is the podcast you should be listening to.
Also, every time we've ever been to a gig on Here Goes Nothing.
Yeah.
Ems is there.
Ems is the most fucking metal person I know. It's like, she invited me to go to Cannibal Corpse and the Black Dahlia murder a couple of months back. Oh. And I was like, I can't. She goes on her fucking own. And then, like, when I first moved down here, like, I had really bad shoulders when I first moved down. I think we've told this story and Here Goes Nothing, but really bad shoulders. And we went to see Cannibal Corpse and Devil Driver. And Cannibal Corpse actually stole the show. I did not expect that because I'm a much bigger fan of Devil Driver's music. But from a performance aspect, George Fisher was just fucking amazing. Whoa. And we're standing there. We like to stand just in front of the PA desk. So we're in the pit, but we're right at the back of the pit, so we're not getting our face smashed in every 3 seconds. So the pit's got to go, and Emma's just like, oh, it's fucking amazing. She just turns to me, she goes, fuck it, I'm going in. She just disappeared into the mosh pit. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not worthy.
And her elbows sometimes go backwards as well.
It's just a gimpy elbow, yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, she puts us all to shame, so...
I've been
in the pit of Death Clash Professional next to her.
Two other metal females there. Marianne and
Mish.
Oh,
you mean the meetup, sorry.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Metal ladies. You like their metal.
Yes.
Mary Angus does tons of gigs, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yes. She likes Sabaton. They both like Sabaton. I'm surprised they didn't have a Sabaton love-in while we were there.
Yeah.
They did.
Oh, they did. It's fine. I didn't hear every conversation, obviously.
No, you were on the other side of the table.
I was eating chicken wings. Oh, fucking BrewDog chicken wings.
Oh, they were good, weren't they?
Oh.
Yeah, BrewDog, fuck off with how good your chicken wings are. It actually makes you angry.
Is that a bit of professional jealousy?
Ooh. So good.
So, from this weekend, have you taken any culinary tips that you're going to take back to your restaurant?
Oh my God, oh, please tell us about the ice cream.
Today.
The ice cream, how the fuck did you forget about the ice cream?
And the actual food we ate.
Look, I didn't call this a fucking weekend of awesome for nothing.
Yeah. No.
Casey, please, this is your baby.
Open the mic for Casey while he's taking a sip of his drink.
Mm-hmm. There's the bus coming.
Right, so... I've been banging on about this ice cream place in Camden Town for a very long time. Anybody that knows me knows this place because I don't shut up about it. Very, very cool. I mean, it's as hipstery as it can get, but luckily...
It's fucking tiny. They
don't ruin it by being hipstery. It is the tiniest little. I've been in news agents, like corner news agents that are bigger.
There are
places selling souvenirs that are bigger than this.
I've been in fucking gig Portaloos that are
they've
bigger.
They've got three little round tables. It's a tiny, tiny little cafe, if you can even call it a cafe.
How cool is it?
Oh, it's very cool. Very cool, because it looks. It's got like. Pie copper pie.
Was that a temperature joke, Timo?
Oh, that's where you were going.
Get out!
You should have said how cold is it? Not how cool.
Take two.
He said cool.
It's a very cool place.
No more beer for that man.
Line.
How cool is it?
Oh, minus 285 degrees. I am talking about Chin Chin Labs in Camden, which is an ice cream parlour, unlike any other I've ever been into. Why is that, you may ask? Well...
And I asked the question, is it called Chin Chin Labs because after you've eaten all their ice cream, you have more chins than a Chinese phone book? Austin Powers reference, thank you very much. Boom, shutting up now.
About time.
However...
And he thinks he's an interrupting bastard.
This is an ice cream parlour that doesn't have a freezer.
New.
It doesn't have a freezer because they don't freeze your ice cream in advance and scoop it. They make your ice cream to order. Why the hell would they do that, would you say? And that's a hipster thing to do. Well, once you try the ice cream, you realise that actually it's kind of the future of how ice cream should be done.
Oh, really? Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
When you order your ice cream, they do your single scoop to order. They have the custard. They make the custard for the... Well, they have the custard ready for the ice cream. Whatever flavour you might have.
Close, you cunt.
Wine in a box.
Oh, now I need a piss. I've got headphones in. Sorry, carry on, Casey.
I thought you were already pissed.
I was doing a quick advert.
That was an hour ago.
Wine in a box. Sponsors here goes nothing.
Oh.
When your meds are getting low.
Anyway.
Your order of ice cream that you've just placed gets tipped into a KitchenAid, the big rotating mixer things they have on British Bake Off.
I'm glad you just explained, because it would be like,
KitchenAid,
fucking
yeah.
Fucking expensive. What do they go for?
The commercial ones, like 600 quid.
600 quid
for not that bad.
A mixer, seriously. But they are amazing if you're
but
making
that's
cakes.
Not that bad for a professional one.
They're like unbreakable, they're fantastic things.
Oh, okay.
They've got multiple... You can have,
what?
Would
you I don't know what it's... We're also sponsored by KitchenAid.
KitchenAid. Nobody listening to this can possibly afford it.
Argy Talking's in the title of the podcast, Lavinia. Stop fucking sign languaging me and arguing with me.
I don't want to interrupt Casey.
Here goes nothing sponsored by KitchenAid. What are you going to do? Stir up a kebab? Welcome back to part three of I Try and Explain How They Make Ice Cream.
Not a 10-part series.
So they're stirring your very much liquid ice cream around in this KitchenAid. Then add, in a fit of mad scientist genius, a canister of liquid nitrogen.
No fucking shit. It's amazing to watch them do it.
Which is heavier than air, so of course it comes off the outside like some kind of bubbling cauldron.
So and while they're doing this, you hear the two... guys at the front speaking in Spanish, Latino.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Saying how...
For two cholos.
They were calling someone a cunt, basically, weren't they?
No, one was calling the other a cunt.
Right, yeah. In front of their customers in a different language.
Not realising that people could understand what they were saying.
I mean, you're in fucking Camden. 50% of the people coming into shops speak Spanish by now. I mean, come on.
That's fine.
It was funny.
Yes. Part four. Part four brought to you by Higgins Nothing Nose Wine.
And it burns.
Because half your palate is in your sinuses.
So it is.
And what the liquid nitrogen does is it essentially scrambles and boils your custard at -285 degrees, which freezes it instantly, churns it, and the reason that this makes incredible ice cream, not just because it's made fresh, so you literally are getting it the moment it's made. It's a single scoop is made in a bowl for you. Doesn't take as long as you might think. It takes a little while, but it's pretty good service. Yeah, they've got row upon row of these mixers now. But what it really does is, on a chemistry level, without going into much detail at all, the less ice crystals you can get in ice cream, the better. We've all had ice cream that we've let defrost a bit too much. Check it back in the freezer, and it goes granular. And
go over there and buy any ice cream that's been in that fridge for 6 years.
It's the enemy of smooth ice cream. So the colder it gets and the colder it stays, the less ice crystals you get and the smoother your ice cream gets. Now, there's a rather nice jump in texture between -50, which is what commercial professional ice cream makers will chuck their ice cream into, -50 freezer, which is fucking cold. To -285, which eliminates
Timo's backyard.
You just sit the bowl outside in your backyard for a couple of minutes.
I mean, there's a reason his house is a house cat, because otherwise he'd go like, Nimitz! Oh god, he's solid.
In the microwave. Oh, the sauna.
The liquid nitrogen produces a completely ice crystal free, like right down to specs, product, which cannot be described until you actually put a spoonful of it in your mouth.
It's fucking just amazing.
It is just the most velvety, luscious, rich ice cream. And then couple that with the fact that they are as chefy as they come in terms of the quality of ingredients they insist upon, the ideas they have, and the execution.
Well, that's what I loved when it walked
weird,
in.
Weird, wild, and wonderful flavors. Yeah,
and it wasn't just like, we do this fucking amazing thing with liquid nitrogen. Yeah. Oh, here are your flavour options.
Here's bubblegum.
Banoffee, bubblegum, strawberry chocolate.
Yeah.
They carry
salted caramel. And
they usually carry three staple flavours, a couple of specials, and then various ways of pimping those up. Everything from blowtorch marshmallow to truffle and porcini mushroom chocolate crumble.
The classic flavours are Tonkin Bean,
which is basically a vanilla, which was...
Oh, that was nice.
Astonishingly good.
Valrhona chocolate.
Which is a very, very expensive, very rich chocolate.
And burnt butter caramel.
So good.
Valrhona chocolate is the chocolate that top restaurants would use for their chocolate dessert.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Then I had one of the specials. Thanks
you
for...
You did. You had a vegan option, which isn't just some throwaway. It's not sorbet, which is fantastic.
Yes.
Because generally speaking, they're like, oh, you can have the sorbet. No. They do have a sorbet, but they made a coconut ice cream with rose jam and lychee being like the sort of Chinese grape thing, which was out of this world, this luscious ice cream texture, because of course, again, the fact that it's very hard with sorbet not to get it
really
granular, because you're using water and fruit, and that's about it, really.
Because Lavinia has a bit of an intolerance of lactose, which has got a bit worse, so she's been really careful staying off. She's been sadly bereft of nice desserts.
Yeah, they chuck.
It was just lovely to see her get.
They chuck the basics at
amazing
you.
Thing land in
so
front of her.
So the thing, I knew they'd be chucking the basics at you for months. So the thing I wanted to do is to give you the best ice cream of all of us. So Lavinia had the coconut ice cream.
I win.
The rose jam. She had a pistachio and cardamom crumble on top of it as well.
Oh, it's amazing.
And a big blowtorched marshmallow.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, like, we walk in and Casey's there, he's got us a table, which is amazing. It's such a fucking shoebox of a place. And he's like, right, I'm going to order. We're just like, what are you having? We're like, we're having what the chef says we're having.
Which is what I heard in my dreams.
Was the absolute right move.
I wanted to be put in charge of your ice cream.
And me and Timo ate half and then swapped. So, it was... The salted caramel was... I mean, it was... At first I was like, oh my god, this is so sweet, I'm going straight into a diet.
Yeah, but it was like,
but it actually settled down. It wasn't as bad as the Five Guys milkshake I had the day before.
that sounded
hence
rude.
Hence the DDPY.
Yes.
Workout.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's the workouts have been keeping me neutral for the consumption this weekend.
I don't think that's true.
No, I don't either. No,
it's fine. We can only dream.
Mm. I'll work hard this week. Anyway, yes, but... But basically, I've never tasted ice cream like it.
Which is exactly what the experience I had the first time, which is why I was so excited to bring you guys in, and I'm just so glad that it lived up to it. But it really is the best ice cream you'll ever eat.
In your life.
Yeah. It's just phenomenal. Perfection. It's perfection.
You said there's a place in Soho as
they've
well.
They've got two outlets, yeah. They've got the tiny little place in Camden. They're desperately trying to expand teams and get more mixers in and more scoopers. They've got
some. I'm thinking I might go and work for them because I'd love to just chuck liquid nitrogen at shit all day. I mean, that would be amazing. Yeah.
The woman running the place that I was chatting to before you guys arrived said that she worked at other places that did high quality ice cream, and this was just a different level.
Really?
They are the only people that are at this level. Nobody's doing ice cream like that.
Are they franchising?
They have a shop in Soho, more of a... less of a cafe, more of a kind of... It started off as a pop-up, and I think they've got a permanent residency there now. Mm. There's a place in Soho. You'll know you're near it when you see lots of people with big grins on their faces with these big waffle cones.
Yeah.
With the, like a collar, like, as I said, like almost like a neck brace of marshmallow sticking at the top of the cone.
That's such a great idea.
Blowtorch marshmallow, and then they nestle your ice cream into
it. Yeah, I mean, if you get to work at this place, you get to work with liquid nitrogen, a big fucking blowtorch. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, yeah, actually, I could do that, certainly.
So if you get near it, Chin Chin Labs is their names. If you're ever in London on a trip, for whatever reason, it does not disappoint. So many places are hyped, and so many places are sort talked about, especially online, as this is the top 10 things to do in London, top 10, whatever, and they can often disappoint. This, I promise you, will not disappoint. It's not cheap, but it's not ridiculous either.
Just it's worth it for the money. Cash.
Yeah. Oh yeah, cash only. Mm. That's how small they are.
So Ready Player One was good, wasn't it? Mm.
It was.
We also had meat.
Oh, meat. Okay, Timo, talk about... Please, Timo, take the floor.
I don't want to talk about this. I'm still full. These guys took me to a restaurant. I was not prepared at all.
Yeah, because we had dessert first, because we went for ice cream first.
Yeah, we fucking did.
Well, Hamilton, we need food.
So. Yeah, we need food. So where's a good place to eat? And apparently Casey knew a place.
That was near the theatre, which was the other motivation.
Yeah, yeah, it's like...
Because it is Fort Knox to get into Hamilton now. They've upped to their security game substantially.
Yeah. We wanted to eat before the... cavity search.
Yep.
So these guys blindly take me to a restaurant. I had no idea what's going on. And they sit me down and give me this badge, which is red on the other side and green on the other side. And tell me that as long as the green side is up, they will bring me meat.
And they will never stop.
Yeah, yes. I mean, if you want to block a cavity search, filling your colon with red meat is a really good idea. Yeah.
In Kyle Reese's words as regards to the meat, they absolutely will not stop.
No. And they kept bringing this really, really good barbecue meats and everything.
What you're hearing, ladies and gents, is Timo describing his first visit to a Brazilian churrascara restaurant.
Yes.
Which basically
correct pronunciation, my dear.
I don't know. That's a bit Portuguese.
Yes, Portuguese. There's the racist. No,
you
no fucking
understand
racist.
Portuguese. Fuck off.
Yeah, doesn't mean I know how to speak it.
Churrascaria.
In Spanish, we would say churrascaria.
Yeah, that sounds more authentic to me.
But
okay.
No,
it
no,
sounds
no,
more
no,
foreign
no.
to you, doesn't it?
To be fair, given the amount of beers I've had, I think I did miss out the eye. So we'll go with Lavinia's pronunciation.
My favourite thing is Casey saying thank you to everything that came to the table so quietly. Nobody.
I said it into my beer.
Just in case you got it wrong, which is what I do in Spain.
Obrigado.
Yeah, that's what I loved about eating there. We had a bottle of wine between us. Mm. So basically a glass of wine each.
Yes.
We were pissed.
And everyone was drunk.
We still can't figure
out. We were meat pissed. Yeah. How do you get meat pissed? I know that's a new thing to me. Just like pissed on red meat.
Maybe they were all in meths.
And Walter White cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe something fell in.
We drank a lot of water, so I was thinking maybe they roofied the water or something.
Yeah. But two bottles of water we drank.
What's up on top side? Say my name!
But yes, oh. we were pissed. We were really happy on our way out.
And the guy comes around, chicken, bitch!
There's a lot to be said for the simple pleasure of somebody bringing over an obscenely large skewer of freshly grilled meat.
Yeah.
You've got these primeval tongs with you.
Oh.
Get hold of it and they just carve it off. It's so
amazing. So it was so beautifully cooked. It was perfection.
The garlic beef was...
No,
that's
no,
what
no,
I love about it more than anything else, I think, was the quality, the accomplishment and the quality of the cooking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the...
That's what made it so good.
The meat and it's like...
Excuse me.
That is a sound of a woman sucking on meat.
On good meat.
That's going on the internet. Are you happy for that to go on the internet? I mean, I'll play it back to you later, but seriously.
Depends.
This section is sponsored by Here Goes Nothing Foley Artistry Studios. Located in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles.
Ah, sponsored by Oi Joy.
So, Timo, when are you moving?
Oi Joy sex toy. Oh, next week.
He works there now.
I missed the question.
One for you. One for me.
But actually, for me, it was good because it was the struggle is everywhere we've been has been like, do you want burgers now? Fucking burgers. I like live on chicken wings everywhere we go. Because everywhere we go, the only thing on the menu I want is a burger, which I can't have because I don't want the bread and the cheese.
You can have a breadless burger.
Nah, it's fucking boring. So I go for the chicken wings, which is normally good, but you can get, you know...
Bored.
All I think is the fucking song from South Park, the movie. I never seen a man eat so many chicken wings. I mean, that's fucking me at the moment. So to go to a place where I can just fill a plate with salad and have someone bring pure cuts of meat and just keep bringing it was just like...
Perfection.
And I'm going to eat too much.
And it's such a reasonable price as well, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention a fantastic range of really tasty, really good Brazilian staples.
I had this puffy cheese bread stuff. That was fucking amazing. I only had one tiny one, but that was the only bready thing I had. And it was really good.
Was it made of? Probably cassava, like everything else is.
See, I've never fucking heard of that. This is why we take Casey around London. He's just like, oh, this.
No, that one.
It's like taking the Oracle to.
Isn't it good to you? I might be making this shit up.
Yeah, that happened, and that happened right after at the Italian,
just really
cafe where that we went to. Everyone was like, "What is that?" And Casey's like, "Oh, yeah,
it's probably this."
Arancini.
He's like, I don't really know, but I think it's made by blanching this and then making that
and small and spreading it over and
all that oil and some fucking
I brought my glasses with me just to push them under my nose.
Yes. He's wearing contacts as well. He's like, yeah, I just need to push these.
Well, actually,
it's harder to push the contacts back into your eyes.
Hey, you can always try.
I think you're fine.
Oh god.
I think you're fine. Ow.
So that was good, wasn't it?
We've had some really,
it's been a culinary thing.
We've made some good choices, I think.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. It's been a weekend to remember.
It has.
Tomorrow, Domino's.
I'll have the chicken wings.
So how do you
spray? We brought the sign.
I was close to getting Casey to spray his beard. Did you see that? He nearly laughed.
We're going to Domino's.
If I can make Casey laugh, it's a fucking milestone in
It'll be worth ruining all the tech.
Do you realise, ladies and gentlemen, I have made him laugh precisely once on a podcast. And I can still remember the moment. Years ago, sitting on the floor in my bedroom, trying to not make any noise with this shitty microphone I was using. And we recorded our imitation of the cheese shop sketch from Monty Python.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a thing going back with Simply Syndicated. We have a thing called Meat Receptacle Shop.
Which we spun into an entire remake of a Monty Python sketch.
And it came up on Movies You Should See, and it was pick a receptacle and a type of meat, and it sounds rude. So, example?
Yeah. Ham hamper.
Ham hamper. That was the original to start everything.
Brisket basket.
Brisket basket. So we did the cheese shop sketch with meat receptacles.
Spam purse.
Spam purse.
Can't find any of it funny.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the National Meat Receptacle Emporium.
Ah, thank you, my good man. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I was sitting in the public library on Thurman Street just now, skimming through Rogue Harry's by Hugh Walpole, and I suddenly came over all peckish.
Peckish, sir?
Esurient.
Eh?
Yeah, what hungry like.
Ah, hungry.
In a nutshell. And I thought to myself, a little storage-themed animal protein will do the trick. So I curtailed my Walpoling activities, sallied forth, and infiltrated your place of purveyance to negotiate the vending of some mammalian comestibles.
Come again?
I want to buy some receptacle-shaped meats.
Oh, I thought you were complaining about the bazooki player.
No, heaven forbid. I am one who delights in all manifestations of the Terpsichorean muse.
Sorry?
Oh, I like a nice tune. You're forced to.
Prepare the night arrows.
Who said that?
Most certainly. Now then, some meat, please, my good man.
Certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little beef wallet?
Oh, I'm afraid we're fresh out of beef wallet, sir.
Oh, never mind. How are you on spam purse?
I'm afraid we never have that at the end of the week, sir. We get it fresh on Mondays.
Tish tish, no matter. Well, stout yeoman, 4 ounces of veal holdall, if you please.
Ah, it's been on order for about 2 weeks. I was expecting it this morning.
It's not my lucky day, is it? Turkey knapsack?
Sorry, sir.
Pork envelope?
Normally, sir, yes. Today, the van broke down.
Ah, sausage sleeve?
Nope.
Mutton slipcase?
Nope.
Any bacon pedal bin, perchance?
Nope.
Lamb canister?
Nope.
Corned beef satchel?
No.
Salmon sheath?
Nope.
Haslet sack?
Nope.
Venison glove box?
No.
Ribeye bum bag?
Nope.
Salami repository?
Nope.
Brawn pouch?
Nope.
Salami side cupboard?
Ah, we have, yes, sir.
You do? Excellent.
Yes, it's a bit moist.
Oh, I like it moist.
Well, actually, it's very moist, sir.
No matter. Fetch hither the viand extraordinaire. Mwah.
I think it's a bit more moist than you'd like it, sir.
I don't care how fucking moist it is. Hand it over with all speed.
Ooh.
What now?
The dog's eating it.
Has she?
He, sir.
Hair wheelie bin?
Nope.
Brisket basket?
Nope.
Mince jiffy bag?
Nope.
Oxtail bucket?
Nope.
You do have some meat, don't you?
Of course, sir. It's a meat receptacle shop. We've got...
No, don't tell me. I'm keen to guess.
Fair enough.
Pheasant rucksack?
Yes.
Ah, well, I'll have some of that.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking to me, sir. Mr. Pheasant Rucksack. That's my name.
Trout pencil case?
Not as such.
Top side bottom drawer?
No.
Flank piggy bank?
Nope.
Pastrami pail?
No.
Bologna bread bin?
Nope.
Goose papoose?
Nope.
Venezuelan beaver handbag?
Not today, sir, no.
How about ham hamper?
Well, we don't get much call for it round here, sir.
Not much call. It's the single most popular meat receptacle in the world.
Not round here, sir.
And what is the most popular round here?
Squirrel toolbox, sir.
Is it?
Yes, it's staggeringly popular in this manor, squire.
Is it?
It's our number one bestseller, sir.
I see. Squirrel toolbox, eh?
Right, sir.
All right, okay. Have you got any, he asked, expecting the answer no.
I'll have a look, sir. No.
It's not much of a meat receptacle shop, is it?
Finest in the district.
Explain the logic underlying that conclusion, please.
Well, it's so clean, sir.
Well, it's certainly uncontaminated by meat.
You haven't asked me about the Frankfurter holsters, sir.
Would it be worth it?
Could be.
Have you shut that bloody bazooki off?
Told you, sir.
Have you got any Frankfurter holsters?
No.
Figures. Predictable, really, I suppose. It was an act of purest optimism to have posed the question in the first place. Tell me.
Yes, sir?
Have you, in fact, got any meat here at all?
Yes, sir.
Really?
No, not really, sir.
You haven't?
No, sir. Not a scrap. I was deliberately wasting your time, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to shoot you.
Righto, sir.
What a senseless waste of human life.
You and the rest of the internet.
Like you said, shout out the window. But there's basically a bit in that sketch where he looks and he goes, have you got any of this? And he goes, no. And I did a really elongated version of that for our take. He fucking lost it. It's the least funny thing I've ever said. And like,
Olivia,
he was giggling.
It was a Olivia-level acting.
What did you give him before?
I wish I still had that outtake. He's fucking pissing himself. I'm like, and what I said was, no. That was it. I still to this day don't know why it tickled you so much, but there we go.
It's acting performance. I appreciate the craft.
I think it's the amount of beer intake.
And your throwback last night, my dear. Fucking trying to go to sleep and she makes me laugh like a drain for 10 minutes.
Oh my god, yes, I was pissing myself laughing.
I'm not referencing it. There was a I know precisely.
You weren't there.
Do you know what? With the glory of editing, and because we're doing a crossover, I'm releasing this on the Here Goes Nothing feed and on the Little Pod of Horrors feed. I am going to drop in our /VixCast advert that we made because I have never laughed so hard trying to make a stupid fucking skit for our show.
It's the most obscene thing we've ever done.
It is, and I am officially going to hell now for making that, but. There was a point I had to make Casey leave the room so I could record a line without bursting into laughter. Look at his face.
Oh, Lord.
The /VixCast. No, it's not a clever name. We've got the world of /Vix collected together in one show. I'm Barry.
And I'm Barry's second cousin, Nigel.
Each week, we'll be reading and rating our latest /Vix picks. Everything from sci-fi.
Here's how it is. The Earth got used up, so we moved out and terraformed a whole new galaxy of Earths. Some rich and flush with the new technologies, some not so much. The central planets, them's formed the alliance, waged war to bring everyone under the rule. A few idiots tried to fight it, among them myself. I'm Malcolm Reynolds, captain of Serenity. She's a transport ship, Firefly class. Got a good crew. Fighters, pilot, mechanic. We even picked up a preacher for some reason, and a bona fide companion. There's a doctor too, took his genius sister out of some alliance camp, so they're keeping a low profile. You understand. You got a job, we can do it. Don't much care what it is. Now Jane, come over here and shit on my balls. To Teenage Fantasy!
Hey Edward, perfect timing. Jacob lowered his arm and continued smiling, ignoring the water which ran in rivulets down his face and fell from his clothes onto the porch. With black hair plastered to his bronze skin, Jacob gave the impression of warmth, despite his slight resemblance to a wet puppy. Jacob was always warm, and this was something which he couldn't explain but always appreciated, whereas Edward was always cold, but knew perfectly well the reason for this. Jacob padded slowly over to the enraptured vampire, circled 3 times, sniffed the ground, and shat on Edward's balls.
Horror!
The ancient, weather-worn edges of the Chinese puzzle box shifted, slid and contorted, as if controlled by unseen hands. Before another thought passed, they were there. Unimaginable, yet real. The Cenobites. A myth, a night terror, yet here they stood. Fear coursed through every vessel and ventricle of her being, but it was too late. One looked upon her, pale with dead black eyes and 100-fold steel nails driven into his skull and face, as if marking out some otherworldly grid of nightmare. He looked upon her, and he spoke.
The box. You opened it. We came.
It's just a puzzle box.
Oh no, it's a means to summon us.
Who are you?
Explorers in the further regions of experience. Demons to some, angels to others.
It was a mistake. I didn't mean to open it. It was a mistake. You can go to hell!
We can't, not alone. You solved the box. We came. Now you must come with us. Taste our pleasures.
Please, go away. Leave me alone.
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
Wait, wait. Please, please wait.
No time for argument.
You've done this before, right?
Many, many times.
To a man called Frank Cotton.
Oh, yes.
He escaped you.
Nobody escapes us.
He did. I've seen him. He's alive.
Supposing he had escaped us, what has that to do with you?
I can lead you to him, and you can take him back instead of me.
Perhaps we prefer you. I want to hear him confess himself. Then maybe. But if you cheat us, we'll tear your soul apart. Right after I, then the other Cenobites, shit on your balls.
But I don't have...
Shit on your balls!
Or even the Bible.
Then, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented to Jesus shitting on his balls.
So for your flash fix, go to www.shitonyourballs.com. I'm not allowed near schools.
So basically, yesterday, while in bed, instead of trying to sleep,
Tell us, what do married couples do in bed?
We talk about the fact that, look, have you noticed? Right, the podcast is currently 1 hour 28 minutes. My laptop has been on the table on top of a tablecloth for 1 hour and 28 minutes.
Really?
That's what we were arguing about. The fact that it is not allowed for me to put a laptop on top of a tablecloth.
Because a little bit of trivia.
Does anybody know what argue talking is called when you're married?
Talking.
Please continue.
Yes.
You and your wife write the fucking book.
But yeah. That is what I say. I say to people, we're not arguing, we're just talking. Anyhow.
No.
Please
explain.
No. You were telling him how it is.
Yes.
This section of Here Goes Nothing brought to you by Lavinia's Life Coaching. Get confident, stupid.
I tell our mates when they all get uncomfortable that that's just talking.
Pop chips down.
You broke Timo.
Anyhow, let's go back to importance. Tablecloth is for you to eat your meal at the table.
I get that.
There is no need to put the laptop on top of the tablecloth.
But why is...
If you want to use the laptop, remove the tablecloth.
Why?
The tablecloth is for when you put your dishes.
No, I get that. Like, that's two different things.
Yes,
but what I am
interested
in, my dear, is the logic of why it is a problem to put the laptop
because
on the tablecloth.
Because you put your laptop somewhere else, and then your tablecloth is for you to put your clean dishes when you're about to eat.
Can I just point out, this would be the perfect time for the tablecloth to just burst into flames.
I still don't get the logic. So my laptop has four tiny little feet underneath it,
which
right?
have been so, somewhere.
So what you're saying
you
is,
you leave it on the floor. You leave it.
Welcome to the first edition of Cross Talk with Timo and Casey.
So you're saying there could be enough bacteria on
plates down?
Timo,
yes.
Do you put
plates down? You know the amount of bacteria there is everywhere, constantly. Yes. Anyhow.
Listen. Right, I'm interested. You're the youngest of eight, yes? This comes from your father's neurosis, right? This is your father's rule your house that you are not allowed to put things on the table.
Honey.
How many of your siblings are now dead because somebody put something on the kitchen table, on a tablecloth that they should not have done?
We did not.
Answer the question.
Boss, my father played the father card.
Let me specify, my father was a surgeon.
Right. So his word was law, so nobody ever put anything on a table.
No, he was very careful with bacteria and stuff like that because of.
So okay, second part to the question.
Like a surgeon.
How long have we been together?
far too many years.
How many years have we been together this time round?
Seven.
Okay.
Seven years.
In 7 years, no, how many
previous
times?
Time, it was 7 months.
How many times do you think I've put something on the table?
Far too many.
I'm sure there's a Brazilian PlayStation.
How many times have I put things
far
on the table?
Far too many.
Yes. How many times have you died?
You kill me every day, honey. Just a little.
Carry on.
Okay.
So.
Anyhow, so we were talking about this issue last night in bed. When I said, look, I don't want to argue about this.
Maybe
because
we should mention
I have no
that
shut up.
If these are the issues, if these are the issues in the relationship, I'm quite happy for that.
These are the
case.
Issues they have in the bedroom.
I'm just glad our Uber driver tonight wasn't a surgeon.
These are some issues we have in the bedroom.
I'm just glad we didn't have anything worse to fight about.
No, we weren't fighting. We were arguing, talking, for fuck's sake. It's very different. So I said, I do not want to argue. Because
therefore, they weren't arguing.
No, we were not arguing. We hadn't reached the level of arguing, and I didn't want to argue.
No, because
so
you would have fucking heard it if we did, clearly.
We
that
never reached that level.
Not a big place.
So I said, I do not want to argue because I have nowhere, or one of us has nowhere else to go. If we do argue, and one has to leave the bedroom.
And also I get stabby.
Since. You do? Because Casey is sleeping in the living room and Timo is sleeping in the spare room, and since there's no more space in the house.
So Timo and I broke up over the weekend. I should add this.
I mean, it's on us, really.
Hey! I just have to say, we're having a fucking great time, but whether this is entertaining to anybody else, I've got no fucking idea. Feedback on a postcard too. Oh, Jesus. Right, carry on.
We'll fix it by the next episode.
We'll fix it in
the next
episode.
No, by the next
episode. No, you carry on.
No, you carry on.
Yep. I smell a Sony.
So there was a time where her sister and her friend were here and they were staying in other places. I had to sleep in the living room, but for some fucking reason I locked the door. I don't know why. Maybe I was scared of her friend. I don't know. But Lavinia,
we moved on from past night.
Yes, so Lavinia was basically having to share with her sister. She was like being a bit noisy and disruptive and whatever, so she couldn't sleep. So she was going to come in and join me, but found the door was locked. I was passed out. And there was an armchair in the hallway. So she had to curl up in the armchair to go to sleep. So referencing the skit I probably played, I don't know how fucking long ago now in the edit, she said,
or not, because he will have forgotten.
I had to curl up in the chair. I said, did you get in the chair, walk around 3 times before curling up into a ball?
I said, yes, and then I shat on his balls.
Mic drop. I fucking lost it.
Don't fucking do that.
Oh, that was so funny.
It's not anymore,
no. No, it's like, no, we killed it with such a ridiculously long build-up on an argument. Still the funniest skit we ever did. Yeah. That nightmare.
Also, there are several sentences missing from your story.
Really?
Yeah.
Like?
The way you told it, the way I understood it, was you locked the door because Lavinia was sharing with her sister. And you wanted to get away. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, I still don't know why I locked the door.
You listen back to it.
I think I was sleepwalking.
I think you were wanking.
How long a drop do you think it is out that window?
It's not that far. Yeah.
But worth a try. Yeah. Well, that's good.
You go through the window, I'll get the door.
Well, that's an hour and a half of total bullshit. Should we call it that?
Lip to a close.
I mean, here goes nothing. I kind of don't want to stop. I've enjoyed this so much.
It's time to flip the podcasting card over to red.
Flip the table.
Flip the table.
We did get steadily drunk as that. Yeah, anyway.
Would this be a bad time to notice that the red mute light is blinking?
If the red mute light was blinking, then there'd be no waveform on my computer.
Damn it.
And the monitor ear thing I've got in my ear wouldn't be giving me any feedback whatsoever.
Welcome to Here Goes Nothing Behind the Scenes. on air.
Oh, I want to test this. Does that make a sound?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it?
You just ruined the whole show.
Oh, what a shame.
That's the EMP.
Why did you even do a whole show?
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. Not funny.
Fuck you.
I mean, it's Bob.
Yes, please.
Can we just fade out into a selection of lines from Double Trouble?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's like the time we ended Here Goes Nothing Forever, we just faded out into fucking nonsense. I think we might just have done the same thing.
Because you were drunk.
Yeah.
And you. And you.
None of us are drunk here.
No, okay.
No.
Just
are we drunk
tired.
Somewhere else?
Yes. I thought we were meat drunk.
Over there.
Right. I'm going to end this before it becomes embarrassing.
Well,
wait.
It's 2 hours
late. I was going to say, it's a bit late.
2 hours late.
2 hours late. What time?
But surely we've watched other stuff, or we've done other things, or something. Or something's happening tomorrow. Or
do you not want to quit?
Why?
We can't quit you.
I wish I knew how.
Yeah.
No, I've literally run out of shit to talk about now.
Hi everybody, this is the appendix.
Time for a bookend.
It's my appendix.
How was the mistake?
How was your appendix?
Grumbling.
I was distracted from everything because I thought Lavinia was about to swig out of a lit candle.
Yep. So we're actually, ironically, over the road from the theatre we were at last night to see Hamilton, having a coffee, because we found this awesome little coffee place. It was just very nice coffee.
Mm. Oh. Very, very good.
I shall let you take it away, because I've talked about this before.
The Void.
It was good.
Yeah, that is one word for that silence on my podcast. I'm trying to do
that thing I never do, which is allow people space to talk. Yeah. That's why I should always be interrupting.
Casey, we know it doesn't work that way, because you don't interrupt until you've got something to interrupt.
That's true.
Yes.
We spent the morning saving a shopping centre from the Empire. It was wicked. It was really, really good.
Thank you so much.
It was so immersive. I couldn't.
Yeah,
yeah. It's weird.
Our first ever fully immersive VR experience, and it really is something completely different.
Yeah,
never experienced anything like that before. Holding your hand in front of you and seeing the bracers of a.
I have to say, the first thing Timo did, I said, put your hands in front of you so they could see that their arms were stormtroopers. The first thing Timo did is flip me two birds. Oh, it works! Then we all turn around and look at Lavinia, and it's like. Only a little short for a stormtrooper. It actually registered
that. It scales you down, which I didn't.
Sorry, and Casey's.
Yeah.
I must specify.
He didn't appear much shorter to me.
Yeah, he was short.
It was a bit, yeah.
You guys were huge and he was short.
Oh, no, I didn't clock that.
Well, that's real life as well, let's be
honest. Yeah, exactly. We're all real life sites. It's what it is.
Yeah, so it was fun doing it for my second time. So I sort of looked at bits I didn't look at last time, and I found a whole section that I hadn't realised was even happening the first time I went in. There were sentry guns.
It was funny, two subtroopers holding hands.
Yes, yeah. Well, I knew that there's a gantry bit, which I knew Lavinia wouldn't be too happy with.
No, I'm scared of heights.
It was funny because we were sitting down in the spaceship thing. She grabbed my hand, and so I lifted up our hands together. And of course, there's just two badly clipping stormtrooper arms flapping next to each other. Like, not sure what's going on here.
I did look over at Timo, and his hand was on backwards. Like some kind of weird prehensile claws.
Medic!
Yeah.
Just when you do go, because I'm guessing you're all going to go,
don't spoil it.
Make sure your helmets are properly, and if they're not, complain, and make sure they set it properly. Because they said to me...
Remember the F and Jeff as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I just remember Jeff.
F at Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, they said to me, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, this is loose. And I could see between the helmet and... So I could see the floor.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's not right, it's not closed properly. And then eventually someone came in and just... hammered it down onto your skull,
just,
didn't they?
Just zipped it properly together.
So. There was this really cool dude with an amazing sort of steampunk twirly moustache and beard came out afterwards. And you think, oh yes, you do watch and listen to everything we're saying. We've got these headphones on and comms, and we think we're in this other world. They're just watching people stumble around an empty box.
Yeah.
Taking
and helpfully pointed out that most of my marksmanship was friendly fire.
Yeah. He said, this is the most friendly fire I've ever seen.
My Olympic stormtroopers are not good any proof.
But there was one bit that were just, somebody we shouldn't have been shooting, and they went, hey, who's shooting Jeff? Stop shooting Jeff. And he came out and he said, yeah, I think most of the ammo was spent on friendly fire and at poor Jeff. And I was like, yay! He's going to call him Jeff for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get in the spaceship to leave, and the first thing Timo decides to do, yeah, he shoots me in the dick.
Yeah. It had to be done. I mean,
so we did stand there shooting each other at close quarters just because it was funny. Because it leaves a little mark on the other character where you shoot them.
So. And it vibrates.
Well, that bit doesn't mind. Yeah, the chest plate does.
I was going to say, is that why you were shooting down there? You needed the excitement.
I couldn't see where you were shooting me, but all I could see was the gun barrel was pointing downwards. I'm like, he's shooting me in the dick. I'm going to shoot him in the dick. I am six.
And you know it.
There you go. So
it's a very clever little thing, and it makes me really excited for our VR future. Ignoring all the singularity warnings and things.
Yes.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to our actual holiday.
It's a more interesting way to go.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. It's
signing
we joked
Oasis.
About tricorders 10 years ago. Now they're a thing.
Yeah.
And the holodeck is pretty much... We went on to the holodeck today.
Yeah.
Very cool.
How exciting.
I have to sort of mention, as I'm sticking this on the end of the podcast, I think Casey saved his funniest line for the end of the show.
Yes.
Because you might have heard that ended quite abruptly. He fisted my computer to stop it recording.
I'm sorry.
Okay, he punched it to stop it recording. And then suddenly realised, hey, hold on a minute. You're more upset I punched your MacBook than your wife.
Than Timo punching your wife.
Yes, sorry. It's always funnier when you tell it later.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
that's it.
That was our weekend. Awesome.
Awesome.
An awesome weekend it was too.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Sicilian coffee house.
Never mentioned the bowling.
The bowling.
Oh yeah, bowling as well.
Yeah, there was bowling.
Yeah, in the most disease-ridden flea pit of a bowling alley I've ever been in my life.
Some of it.
We all came out and just washed our hands immediately because we weren't touching those balls.
We weren't sure.
Yeah, I said that too.
Yeah, never.
But it was fun.
Yes.
Touch the ball.
It was very cool.
Yeah. That's it, I think.
Yeah. So,
successfully limping.
The amazing weekend is over. The sun's coming out.
Yes.
I'm physically and literally going to limp to the train station, to the bus station now. Go back to Middle Earth. Yes.
So as we are in the Sicilian cafe bar, I'm going to say ciao.
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 Now I'm hungry.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Spoken as a normal person without a fucking brain injury. It's damn well done.
I get where you're going. Well, it's them that don't get it. Right.
What, Johnny Foreigner?
What I meant was, I'm going to intro the show.
Okay, we can talk about his racism. I don't get it. The waffle bit.
He was nothing.
We just talked about whatever the fuck we wanted to. Thanks for listening.
Not the food item.
No. It's not like how we met or anything.
Waffle may not be a term in Finland. I mean,
yes,
talking box.
Oh yeah, it's some student.
See, I'm not that racist. I'm equally kind to all of the white races.
Light you can use, or you can.
Nah, fuck it, we'll do it.
I don't give a shit.